Thank you, Sean. Seems like I've been up in front here quite a bit here lately. I'm sorry for you guys, but it's all right. I'd like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And it does seem like I'm getting a little bit of practice here preaching, and lately... last week, I was down in Warrensburg, and this morning, some of you were here, I was in charge of the sacrament service. Huh? No one died. For me, this has been an incredible year, and I think it's going to continue to even be more so as the year goes on. God is really moving in people's lives. And I hope that He's moving in yours also. That He is changing you and making you look at your lives, your spiritual lives, and desire for it to be better. I want to start in Acts this morning, or this evening. I'm still on a different timetable. It's New Zealand time. I want you to go to the 10th chapter. And I'm going to start with the 1 through 4 verses. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, evidently, about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thy alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now, this shouldn't happen. These things shouldn't have happened. As far as the Jews were concerned, these Gentiles shouldn't have had these things happening to him. And so I'm going to keep on reading here because there's a couple of things that happen. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. And he lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And when the angel which spake unto Cornelius was departed, he called two of his household servants, and a valiant soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the 6th hour. Now there's something else going on here. God is preparing these people. Not only just these, but he's also going to prepare Peter. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and a certain vessel descending into him, as it had been a great sheet, knit at four corners and let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. This was done thrice, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate and called and asked Simon, which was surnamed Peter, were lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, three men seek thee. Arise, therefore, and get thee down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Doubting nothing. You think when Peter seen these people, especially one with a soldier, had his doubts? You see, the Lord was preparing something. You know, we think we understand how everything's going to turn out. And God is preparing the way for Peter to understand things differently, and not only just for Peter, because he took other people with him. Let's keep reading on here a little bit. Then Peter went down to the men which were sent unto him from Cornelius and said, behold, I am he whom ye seek. What is the cause wherefore ye are come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man and one that feareth God, and of good report among all the nations of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for thee into this house and to hear words of thee. Then called he them in and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied them. And so Peter took friends with him, took other Jews with him. And so God has given Peter also a vision of what this means. God is teaching Peter through the Spirit that it is not just the Jews that he was calling. Today I see a great awakening going on. And I believe that God is pulling people out of places, or waking them up to the fact that the time is running out. Do you have that sense? Or is it just the same as yesterday? God is on the move in people's lives. And I truly pray that he's on the move in your lives. Let's continue on. I lost my place. 23? Yeah. And on the morrow, after they entered, 24th verse, entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. And as he talked with him, he went and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. And this was the purpose of the dream, or the vision, that we think that other people aren't worthy. And so God prepared Peter here to be a tool in his hand. Because if he hadn't have given him that vision, he wouldn't have gone. He wouldn't have gone in there. 29, therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent. For I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thy alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner, by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. Peter got it. Peter understood. This was about God's work. It wasn't about just Peter's work with the Jews. It was about God's work. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word I say ye know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him, and we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, who they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the quick and the dead, to give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth on him in him shall receive remission of sin. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the words. And they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Wasn't supposed to happen, was it? They weren't even baptized. You see, I don't think we understand that God is in control of everything. This is his job. He's supplying Peter with the tools, and he's supplying Cornelius and his family, who was a just man, to receive these gifts. Peter wasn't the only one that was changed. These people that went with him also were a witness of this. You think that was by accident too? Because if it just had been Peter by himself, they would have said, you're just making this up. You see, God had planned every step of this. 46. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then answered Peter, Can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then prayed they him to tarry certain days. The Holy Ghost had already fell on. You see, what it tells me is we make traditions, and the Jews were the same way. They loved traditions. They loved making a tradition out of anything. Couldn't even throw the bath water out on the Sabbath day in case, you know, a seed sprouted. And yet he wanted to show them that he was God and us. And they were astonished. These things aren't supposed to happen. They're only supposed to happen to the Jews. We sometimes think the same way in our church. This can't happen. You see, over the years, I've had many incredible experiences. And those experiences have brought me this far, that I believe God with all my heart. A just God. Doesn't mean I deny the things that happened to me before, because I know they were part of the plan to convert me to Christ, to change who I was. Without those spiritual experiences, what is God? They convict us. They did me. They changed the very nature of who this creature was. You know, I was talking to the apostles the other day about an issue, and one of the apostles said to me, I guess I take turns down there in the visitor center, and one of the apostles, he said to me, he said, these people came in and they were talking to him, and they knew all about the restoration. And so finally he asked him, he says, what branch of the restoration or LDS do you belong to? They said they were Baptists. They were Baptists. You know, see, that's the thing about God. If people are really searching for the truth, you think that God is going to hold it from them? You know, when I went to New Zealand, that, you know, everything fell into place. And I tell you, I don't know why I'm amazed. The only thing that I'm amazed is that he uses me. That's the only thing I'm amazed about. Because I know that he plans everything to the most minute detail. Even my conversion. The people that were put in my path were just what I needed. When I moved back here 21 years ago, I ended up a little congregation up north there. It was the perfect place for me. It was the perfect place for me. And looking back, I can't tell you how God engineered those things for me to put me where I am today. Still nothing. Other than maybe have a little more of his wisdom as far as dealing with people. But for the most part, it's all about my God. It's all about the things that he did for me that I can never repay. I can never repay. You see, even when I was working down south, I was working for my friend Mike here, and broke a line on the backhoe. And so I had to go and get a line. Came back, and it was dark when I almost got done because I had to finish this job. And these people came to look at this, and it was a fancy golf resort. And these people came to look at the golf resort after hours because they figured no one would be there. And I'd just taken the last scoop of rock and put it in the dump truck and got to talk to them. If I hadn't have broken that line, I wouldn't have got to talk to them. And by the time I got done, you know, she was in tears and wanted a Book of Mormon. Wanted a Book of Mormon. They'd never heard of it. But the things that God had prepared me to say weren't my words, found place in her heart. You see, we don't know where that testimony is going to end. But you shouldn't end up where you start. And I tell this to a lot of people. John 3:16, people love to quote that. And that's where you may start, but that shouldn't be where you finish. There's so much more to the gospel. So much more to the gospel. Our new member down in New Zealand texts me every now and again about how he's witnessing to people about the Church of Christ. How everything fell into place. Couldn't have engineered it myself. No matter how much planning and stuff, I couldn't have done it. And you know, I was amazed and heartbroken in many instances going down there because I seen how godless it had become. How that no one depended on God. The churches were just dying. Very few churches. People say, well, it's this way here, but it isn't. I can assure you of that. But God knows who his people are. God is the one that pulls them out of these places, these barren places, for what's in their hearts. You see, this went against their traditions. Even baptizing us. If I said to someone, these guys are going to receive the Holy Ghost before I baptize them, what do you think people would say to me? You're crazy. It's not how we do things. But God wanted to show how he does things. And I want you to understand that. Let's go to the 11th chapter here. Because now the difficult part is that he has to convince his brothers back in Jerusalem of what just happened. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him, saying, "Thou wentest into men uncircumcised and didst eat with them." But Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa," and he gives the explanation. He's got to sell it to them because this is going against their tradition. You see, we see people and we say, well, you know, look, and this is the emphasis of what I want to say. We pick and choose who is worthy of the kingdom. And I think that's a dangerous thing. Then God is not our leader. But Peter understood, and he had witnesses, that there was a reason for this. Fifth verse. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision, a certain vessel descending as it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners. And it came even to me, upon the which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth and wild beasts and creeping things and fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, 'Arise, Peter, slay and eat.' But I said, 'Not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common.' This was done three times, that all were drawn up again unto heaven." And so he's telling him this experience that he had. That he knew that this was talking about Cornelius and his family. I have seen many things in the time that I have. Started on this journey. Some incredible things. And these men and women and people glorified God. You know, we gauge what happens in the scriptures and compare them to our own lives. And I do that with mine. And I understand that God had so much patience with me. Long suffering. Because I started out knowing nothing. Absolutely nothing. I was like a blank sheet. I believed that religion was for weak people until God showed me how weak I really was. And now to stand before you in my weaknesses, and I have many, And one of them is standing here before you. I don't like to stand up here and preach. I don't like to be in charge. Like this morning. But I try never to say no to my God. Because he's never said no to me as far as bringing me along. There are lots of people that know so much more than I do. Don't get me wrong, even in the beginning, I was still very zealous. When I found the gospel, I wanted everyone to know it. Didn't have the understanding I have now. I'd like to beat people over the head with a sledgehammer. The truths that I understood. I don't do that anymore. Because I know that's not his way. I talked to a friend of mine last night. Worked for this guy. He was one of the people that was instrumental in me finding the gospel. And I told him, I says, I was taught by the best. Because me and him would have a Bible study, and his wife, by the time we'd got done, would be in tears. Because we'd be throwing scriptures at one another. We would beat each other up. I love that man because he challenged me. He made me see things in a different way than I'd ever seen them. Some things he was wrong on, some things he was right. But it was how he presented them also, and it was also how I presented them. Brothers and sisters, we contend over small things. And yet, our God is so much bigger. Can you imagine that this little speck of dust called earth out here, compared to the heavens, God has control over it all. Why would he even consider me? Or you? Because he loves you. He loves you. You are part of that handiwork. He made you in his image. Each one of you is so special. Yet we don't consider that. We don't consider our uniqueness as far as how we deal with one another. Unfeigned love for the brethren without hypocrisy. Do we have that? Do you consider one another before yourselves? Because the time is coming where you're going to have to. Let's go to Hebrews, the 8th chapter. Tenth verse, for this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. Is that us? I sure hope so. I do, I sure hope so. That it's in our hearts. always do good. You know, I gave a testimony this morning about my flight out to on a missionary trip with Joel. And God prepared us all through that trip to be able to tell the story better. There was problems everywhere we went. And some of them were pretty considerable problems. But it gave us the opportunity of being able to explain the story better. You know, I see some of our brothers going back to some of the Jewish traditions, and I think that's a dangerous thing. The reason is because it takes the focus off our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I don't want to do that. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. It says that in this book here, Hebrews. Let's go to the 11th chapter of Hebrews, 32nd verse. And what shall I more say, for the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to fight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were shorn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. All these things they suffered willingly. Would we? You see, I don't think we've matured yet to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. We know where that scripture is. To offer our bodies as a living sacrifice. That's what he's asking us to be. That the examples of us for his work, not for ours, for his work. I know that I'm not there yet. I hope and pray that I get that opportunity to be there someday. Because I know that he hasn't finished changing me, nor you. But I pray for you, brothers and sisters. And I hope that you do the same for me. And I thank you very much. And God bless you.